Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Annie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And who is our guest today, Helen Thorne?
I'm so excited. It's Emily Murray. Hello.
AKA Pink House Living, as you're known on the Instagram.
I am. You can call me that.
Now, for the listener, who are you, Emily Pink? Murray / House Living? whatever your real name is.
I always find it really hard when anyone asks me this question, because without sounding like a wanker, I've got one of those sort of multi-hyphenate jobs. But I never really know where to start. So, I don't know. I'm an author, because that sounds really cool and prestigious, because I wrote a book last year.
What was it called?
It's called Pink House Living.
Pink House Living!
Yes. The book of the blog. Obviously, a blogger. I am the founder of the Pink House blog and Pink House Living, the Instagram account. And I'm a journalist by trade. I am a former stunt woman, which is something I like to lob in there just because it makes people go,
that is
what? Awesome. Yeah.
We've never had a former stunt woman in our house.
No.
I say our house now.
Or indeed a current stunt woman. I mean, a stunt woman go, I once did a stunt thing. With James Bond's stunt man, but that's yeah. Maybe I'll tell this on another podcast years ago. Let's make this about me. We're only 3 minutes in. years ago, I did a press trip for a video game about guns, and they flew us to Romania because it was the rock and roll days. And one of the things we had to do was a stunt routine, which ended with jumping for a hoop of fire. And wow. I was incredibly hungover. I actually vomited in the corner of the room before we...
Did you vomit through the hoop of fire? That would have been pretty
That would have been amazing.
That's not a dolphin.
And then, but I got through it. I got through the routine. And then James Bond's stuntman went, well done, darling. And he ruffled my hair, which again, in the current climate, you probably wouldn't get away with, but I quite liked it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And in the bar, I overheard him saying to another stuntman, I couldn't believe it. This girl, and she was throwing up. And next thing I know, she's jumping through the hoop of fire. So it's like, that's my dream. But anyway, but you're an actual stunt woman.
Tell us about your stunts.
But you know what? I realised that I am actually a current day stunt woman. Because actually, quite a lot of the stuff I do, even though it's often interiors based, I think I haven't said the word interiors. Everything.
Because she's got a nice house.
That's sort of the basis of the Pink House concept, is it's about like fun, playful, colourful interiors, right? But when I work with brands, or even when I don't, I like to inject a bit of gymnastics.
She's got a trapeze in her lounge.
I do. Yeah. I guess that's my USP.
I thought it was for sex, but it's just for Instagram.
No, it's
have
not.
Have you had any meh meh on it?
I have not. No, but I feel like I'm blushing for no reason.
She's gone pink.
But we could say it's weird because literally we could say you are a swinger, Emily. I mean, you are a swinger.
I am. But yeah, I like to sort of do the gymnastics thing as part of my interiors thing. So I did a thing recently for Method and Mirabeau, which is like cleaning and pink wine, which
Those two products mixed up, though.
No. I know, I did say, as part of it, I said to the husband, I was like, should I pretend to swig on the floor cleaner? He's like, No.
No.
But so clean your windows with rosé. I mean, why not? Fuck me.
Yeah. That'll work. Probably better than
rosé tinted glass. What's not to like? Come on.
Da-dum.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm actually a professional comedian.
So good. So where was I talking about the things? Oh, yes. So this thing I did with Method and Mirabeau, I was like all jumping off things and swimming on the trapeze. I haven't mastered swimming on it, but I was swinging. And then I did a thing last week with a videographer for another client, and it was like little room tours. And it was like in the bedroom, I was like, right, right, I'm going to somersault across the bed. And then obviously the trapeze, I had to come down off the trapeze. And then, of course, everyone can see my pants. So she had to film from behind the flowers. But basically, it's stunt interiors. Mm. But when I was an actual...
Stinterior's. You've missed a trick there.
Wow, I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Or stunterior's. I don't
stunk,
mind.
Stunk, skunkierior's.
Stunterior design.
Stunterior design. I'm going to work on that. But yeah, my original stunt life came about because I did parkour, you know, free running.
Wow, yeah.
Jumping over
You're
rooftops.
So badass, Emily. It's excellent.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? And that came about because I used to be a gymnast. And then when parkour became a thing and I saw this documentary on Channel 4 and I was like, I'm going to go and do that. And because the husband had gone to Africa, he wasn't my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time. And he decided, sorry, this is quite a conversational branch I'm off on.
No, I like it. No, I want to get, I want to know more about
the good bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Your boyfriend went to Africa.
Yeah, he went to Africa. And so I decided to do parkour. To keep me, I was going to say to keep me off the streets.
That's a typical response. We've all done that. Yeah.
I want to jump off really big things because he's gone.
Yeah.
No, but, what is it? Because Africa is parkour, isn't it? If they go to Antarctica, it's windsurfing. If they go to Australia, I think, is it scuba? I can't remember now.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so the parkour.
So I wanted to keep myself busy so I didn't get into any trouble. So in the end, I ended up like hanging out on street corners with teenage boys. I was 27 years old working at Condé Nast and I would spend much of my time out on the streets. And then I got spotted because there's not many women dressed in sweaty Betty pink lycra, which is what I was, doing parkour. And because I kind of knew what I was doing, I started to get some work. And then I started to do like proper commercials, and I did a circus thing with some Cirque du Soleil people for Renault Formula One in Paris. And I had to like bungee jump off the ceiling of this big warehouse. I mean, it was pretty crazy.
God,
I know.
Fucking hell. So how do you get from that to fucking wallpaper, Emily? What's that trajectory when it's at home?
I honestly don't know. I mean, it was a bit of a, if I'm absolutely honest, which I probably shouldn't be, when it came to starting the pink house, it was all like, okay, I've had my kids and now I'm going to start my business, which is what I'd always planned to do. And I had to decide what the business was going to be. And I decided it was going to be based in writing because writing was what I knew. And then I had to decide what I was going to write about. And I thought, well, fashion blogs are done. Oh, and I decided digital was the thing. Fashion blogs done, and I'm not that knowledgeable anyway. Beauty, it was definitely out because I'm not interested. Sport is my lifelong passion. Mm. But I thought it's going to be depressing because I'm only going to get older and tireder and more crap at sport. And then I thought, oh, my house, I'm doing my house up. I'll always live in a house, well, or somewhere, hopefully, and I'll always care about what it looks like. And I realised throughout my life, I'd always loved like swishy hotels or lovely bars. And it wasn't so much to do with, or nice restaurants, it wasn't to do with what the food was like, it was to do with what it looked like and the vibe. My childhood gang hut had it had a guest bathroom and like a display shelf. So I realised that I cared about this stuff and I always would do. Mm. And then I could also see that there was a business opportunity because the level of professionalism in the blogs that already existed in the interiors world was pretty shit. So I thought, yeah, I can do that.
I like the fact that you started your business and your blog and that kind of trajectory with purpose and actual kind of thought. Well, Ellie and I sat in a pub once and went, should we put something on the internet?
I don't know. done a picture of me holding some wine. Oh, brilliant. Fuck it. Put it on the internet. Fine. Yeah.
But yeah. No, it's really interesting hearing that because, we all kind of want our house to look not shit, don't we? Hmm. Like, you know, I have no skills in that area, and you obviously do. But I think sometimes I look at my house and I go, I don't know how to make this gooder. Like, how do I make this not look like a complete tip? Because, you know, I've had small children and been tired for the last decade, and it's sort of hard. And you're like, oh, should I just get some flowers? Should I buy a nice vase? Yeah. Vase? Vase.
That vase.
Vase. Yeah. I don't know.
It annoys me. I know what you mean, because, like, and I find as well, like, it's the one thing I sort of care about that I'm not good at, right?
Yeah.
So I'm no good at football. Don't give a fuck. Football's shit. But with interiors, I really care. I really want my house to be really nice. But I guess my question is, for people like us who are basically like, we're morons.
Yes, we know nothing, Emily. Yeah.
What? But someone like you, do you walk into a room and just go, oh, right, so that should be there, and a bit of symmetry there, and these colours would look nice, and the light, do you just have that, like the Terminator?
No, I don't. Okay. I think the biggest piece of advice I give to people when it comes to making your house look non-shit is to actually have more self-belief, because I think people have got it into their heads that they don't know what they're doing and that there is out there some sort of holy grail of knowing what you're doing. Mm. And I don't think that's true. I think what people lack is is practice, basically. Because for me, it's just like, I just kept, because I moved house, you know, 3 years ago from Edinburgh, and I had quite a big house in Edinburgh, which I did up from top to bottom, and I've owned quite a lot of property, so I've done quite a lot of rooms. And if you looked at the evolution, it started out with like, oh, I'm going to put a feature wall up there, and then I sort of plonk a chair here, and I'd sort of gone, oh, I like that, and I like that, and then I'd kind of thought, oh, I quite like it together, and then the next house I got a bit braver, and then the next house I got a bit braver, or whatever. And I think it's about going, owning what you like. And I think people are much braver when it comes to dressing, because people get dressed every day. Mm. And you learn because you do it every day and you think, oh, I didn't like that so much and today I like this, or well, I'm going to try this, or I'll take off that jumper and put
that's
one
it.
On.
It's temporary though, isn't it? Yeah. Like if I buy a horrible jumper, I don't have to wear it again, put it in the charity. If I paint a wall of my house puce and then decide it's revolting, that's true. Fucked, aren't I?
No, I think that's it, and is because people lack confidence, then they don't do anything, and then they sit there going, I don't know what to do, and then they think it's something about themselves that they just don't know what to do. Whereas I think most people can cobble a room together if they just gave it a try. And then I think the next thing is to just go for it. And I think what happens is the default that most people have is they say, okay, I'm just going to paint everything white or beige, or, you know, keep things, because they don't want to make the puce mistake. They don't want their room to look shit and then be like, I haven't got any more money to sort it out. But I think if you look at colours you love, and you don't have to go too crazy, and so but push yourself, and rather than going, I don't want to make a mistake, so I'm going beige, go, I don't want to make a mistake, so why would I choose a colour that doesn't really make me feel very happy? Why not choose a colour that does? Mm. I think it's very hard to get wrong. And people talk, you know, a lot of the time about, like, which colours go with which, or I get asked questions about how do you, you know, put patterns together, and I'm like, you just choose stuff you like, and then you do it. And then the chances are you might get to a point where you've done it and then you think, it's not quite right. And that happens to me all the time. So I did that in my kitchen dining room. I put up the wallpaper, which is still up there, and it's got like a black background and it's got foliage all over it, because I wanted this kind of bring the outside in vibe. And I put it up and it was so dark. I was just like, fuck. And the husband was like, oh my God, what have you done? It's a disaster. I'm like, no, it's fine. We're just going to put pictures on top of it. And I wouldn't have thought to do that before, because I'd be
pictures
a bit like
of like light
too
bulbs, the sun, torches,
yes,
things on fire.
But most things are going to be brighter than what it was, this really black. Because I hadn't really thought the fact that it was basically black with stuff on top. And then we put the pictures on top, and it did. It looked so much better. And then I added more brighter things than I might have done. And in the end, about 2 years later, I painted one of the walls pink, because why not? But because I thought, let's try that. And I quite liked that, but then it wasn't the right pink, and then I painted it green. But the point being that there was like a year or so went past between each time, and I tweaked other things and I changed things, but it's like that constant evolution. But I think you'd be happier if you just go for it and try it and choose a colour that you know you like, because maybe it's in your wardrobe, you use it often. And then if it's not quite right, then just other things and just have fun with it.
Mm. Excellent.
Yeah, just do it.
Be bold, be brave.
Yeah, I do think so.
Paint things pink or yellow, just not orange. Orange is...
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of...
No, I'm going to make a confession. I was on the Great British Interior Challenge about 4 or 5 years ago, and I had a young chap come into my bedroom, and they asked about what colours, and my ex-husband said, I like orange. So everything went fucking orange, and I said, I like green. There was no green, so I've got all these sort of orange highlights in my room still.
Ooh.
Which I think, now that I've talked to you, I'm like, I'm going to get rid of that, Emily. Yeah. I'm going to buy some paint and paint over it.
Just do it. I mean, paint is...
Just paint the word cock over everything. That's what I do.
That is nice, which will be a nice for all my future lovers.
Yes.
Yes.
It's what you like.
It is.
Do what you like.
Be bold. She wants.
Do what you like.
Yeah, it's manifesting. You're putting it out there.
That's what we need in Deterioris more. Yes. I think so. But that's good. Like, I think that's good advice, because I think people just feel frightened. And also, sometimes when you go to someone's house who's really nice, you're like, oh, I could never do that. And there is a real self-consciousness about it. And also, yeah, the fact most of my house is about 80% IKEA, and some of it's, you know, covered in, you know, concreted Weetabix on the things, and I've just sort of left it. There is a tiny purple handprint on the side of my bookcase as well, which I've sort of left because the kids are like, oh, that's sweet. But I thought, no, Helen, you could just wipe it off, really.
I don't know, I quite like a bit of a kind of real life. That's one of the things that my house sort of celebrates in a way, is that there's sort of marks over most things. But then I also deliberately get things that I know are going to mark. Like everyone said, don't get marble worktops in your kitchen because it's really porous and they'll stain. And I'm like, you know what, fuck that. Of course it'll stain. But in a way, if I know that ahead of time, then, for example, I had my 40th party and there was like rings from all the champagne bottles. You can still see it. And I love that. I love the fact that my house is a kind of increasingly reflection of me and my family, but mainly me.
Yeah.
We have a little height chart in the wall, and we've had the wall painted a couple of times, but I won't ever let they paint have to paint around the height chart, because I'm like, yeah, and it's all scruffy and pencil, but I'm like, but that's a house has to feel lived in at some point as well. It has to feel like it belongs to someone, right?
Totally.
I mean, how do you deal with sort of mess and clutter and stuff like that?
I think that's another big part of like making your house look non-shit. I mean,
yeah. So Emily's paused because for the listener, so my living room was quite nice. I actually got it to a place where I quite liked it, and then like lockdown happened, and we were doing homeschooling, and my husband was doing the homeschooling. He decided to set up a home, because in Joe's little classroom at school they have a home corner, which is just like a little mini house, and they have books and things. So Pete decided to set up a home corner in our front room, which I thought, that's quite a sweet idea, isn't it? That's nice. But it wasn't like the one at school, which is all sort of wooden and has little chairs and cash registers and telephones. It is just an enormous cardboard box cut in half and covered with shit wrapping paper. And it's sort of become a sort of, it's just like a bin now. It's just like a pile of plastic shit. But part of me is just like, fuck it, do you know what I mean? I should clear it away now they're back at school. But I was just like, quite early on in lockdown, I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to have to accept that this is what my house is like for the time being. There are going to be loads of books and felt tips in the dining room. There is going to be a pile of shit in the lounge. There is going to be a pile of books over there. Because at the moment, that's what my kids need. And maybe I need to let go of literally these corners of my world.
I actually think that's a really, before I go on to say, oh, you should have really good storage, because that's what you're supposed to say, I actually think there's an interesting analogy between just accepting the crap that's everywhere in your house and accepting your face as it gets older. Because I've been having conversations with people about like, oh, Botox and all that stuff. And I'm like, surely we're better off putting the time and effort and maybe even money in terms of like going and lying on a beach, if that makes it better, into accepting the face that we have, that and then being just like, that's, well, I live with it every day, and I look at it and I go, yeah, it's great. Same with if your house is covered in crap, you just go, yeah, that's just how it is. That's how I roll. Or my house rolls, I mean.
I'm a big fan of like Marie Kondo. I've read that book several times,
and I think you can tell
exactly. But I was like, there just came a point where I had to go, I will have that house one day, I will have that perfect Marie Kondo house, but my, it will be when my children don't live here anymore.
Yeah, you've got to be realistic.
Yeah, and for the time being, this is just fucking it.
And your
it?
Children are sparking joy. This is the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, and your husband does some of the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
He sparks rage also, but sometimes he sparks joy.
As long as there's a spark.
Yeah. I was going to ask that because, again, making it about me, because this is what we like doing on our podcast. I mean, it's you're really superfluous, Emily, because this
you
is
you can
just,
go if you like.
Yeah, this is just a platform for us. But like during lockdown, for the first time in 22 years, I had a house to myself. So I didn't have to compromise about, you know, where I put a painting, what I did, you know, bought a rug.
Are you supposed to compromise about that shit? I just fucking knew it.
I do as well.
That is the reveal.
Don't ask his fucking opinion, just get on with it.
I think Ellie and Emily had a different relationship to me. Anyway,
well, I wasn't married to your husband, that's true.
I just slept with him, it wasn't the same.
anyway, Anyway, but I was so elated by the fact that I could just do anything to my house. Like, I was like, and it just felt like it was more me. And I think, I'm sure there's people who felt that, you know, when you become single, you're like, oh my God, I'm reclaiming these spaces. These aren't just joint spaces anymore. This is about Helen's house. So that was really exciting. But I'm segueing back to you guys in that you two, because we're talking about lockdown and compromise and things, you two survived. Your marriage has survived lockdown. How was that?
I mean, so far, let's see how the second wave goes.
The second wave's harder than the first, I think. Mm. There's not so much... to be honest, the first wave, from a marriage point of view, was pretty good for mine because my husband... he runs a company, a non-profit based in the US, and he would have, up until lockdown, travelled. Every month he would go for a week to the States, and then the rest of the time he'd work at home. But there was a lot of travelling, and he's been doing this job now for, like, what, I don't know, 7-8 years. Yeah, he was like, basically he was living the dream, because he's quite a homeboy. He likes, you know, the home comforts and the family, and he was just loving it. He's like, I'm at home, I've got my family around me, the weather was pretty good. We're so lucky we've got this kind of big parkland out the back of our house. So, and he likes to get outside and he likes to do military fitness, but he was even enjoying military fitness more because he was doing it remotely in our park and he didn't even have to get to whichever place it was. So, I mean, he was living his best life. He really was. And the kids were happy because they were at home and kids just like being at home, you know. So I was the only one who wasn't happy because I was fucking homeschooling and, you know, it was my business that took the hit. But because he was so happy and because the kids were happy, I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to have to be happy because that's just the way it is, and start drawing wildflowers. But as a result, that's what I did.
I love that you go from stunt woman to drawing pictures of flowers.
Yeah, multifaceted. But I think because he was so happy and relaxed... And we were doing a lot of exercise together. We really did. We did that kind of annoying thing where we just got really fit and did, you know, all that stuff. I did lots of bike rides. It kept... He's a happier person when he's doing a lot of sport, a lot of exercise. And he's happy when he's with his family and everything. It was just... It was a happy atmosphere. I'm not going to lie.
No, but this is good. And I think we need to hear some good news stories. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, it's not funny, but it's but in terms of like bonding and actually relationships that have survived it. Because I, now that I'm talking to like lawyers and mediators and all that sort of stuff, there was a lot of divorce happening during that time. And I think there was a lot of pressure cooker kind of stuff. But I think it is nice hearing kind of like that there were opportunities to bond. I know Ellie and her husband became alcoholics, and that was great for them.
We really bonded over our show. Like you were saying about sport, for us, it's been alcohol.
Yeah. To be honest, to do it fair, and I forgot about it, that was like the third sort of main pillar of lockdown was the alcohol.
Right.
So it was the extremes of exercise and alcohol, and that also helped. Sorry,
continue. Yeah. We got quite into the booze, but then but to the point where we actually had to go, actually, do you know what? We might need a couple of weeks off the alcohol. So we did that. But that in itself, yeah, that was a thing that we did together and it was all right. And now I'd like to think we've reached a sort of happy medium where we don't start drinking in the middle of the day. So that's, you know, until Christmas anyway.
Yes.
I missed that though, because I did do quite a bit of drinking in the middle of the day because homeschooling was just too much. But my husband's a bit more sensible than me, so he would be holding out until at least sort of 5:30. But, you know,
that's a sensible hour, yes.
He had, like, conference calls, you know, sort of thing. But I kind of missed the... Because that was some extreme drinking. And now I feel like the second wave is like an insipid version of the first wave. It's not... weather's not as nice. I'm not doing as much exercise. I'm not drinking as much. My husband's not as happy because he's now... The benefits have worn off. He's now missing seeing people.
Yeah.
At least the kids are back at school, although they're not because they've been off for 2 weeks on half term. And actually, my eldest was off for another week because he had to self-isolate. So now it's a bit like... the novelty.
Yeah, I think the momentum and the energy and the sort of enthusiasm for it. Because, again, it's another... what's it called? Endless... We don't sort of know when that's going to end. I was talking yesterday to a friend about this. And it's like... Last year and, you know, leading up to COVID, you used to be able to punctuate things by looking forward to going, oh, well, at least we can book a holiday or it's Christmas or it's something else. And that kind of got you through the tough times with your partner because you're like, well, we've got something to look forward to. But now it's sort of unknown. I think that's the hardest thing about being in long-term relationships. You're like, oh, what are the next sort of good bits?
Yeah.
And you kind of, it's like, oh, well, tomorrow will be okay. And I was going to, I was saying, because you talked about your 40th birthday, and we've talked about this before, about how we transition as women, not, you know, amazingly on the date of our 40th birthday, but how we see the world differently. Like you had this, you know, great party and you got into trapeze and all that sort of stuff. Was there something about turning 40 that gave you a bit of chutzpah and a bit of, you know, a bit of a different view on things?
You know what I think it did as well, is it really brought out my competitive spirit, which
awesome.
Which is not very below the surface at the best of times. But there's, I think I might, my mum once said this, and my mum's got definitely a competitive nature. Something like, she always just wanted to be like, compared to other women her age, she wanted to feel like she was like really doing it, you know, in whatever, like, I think we were talking sort of physically and sort of that side of things. Mm. And I think I kind of thought, the opportunities here, when you're 39 and you say, I can do a backflip, it's like, okay, you're in your 30s and you can do a backflip, okay. But as soon as you hit 40 and you can still do a backflip, people are like even more impressed. So become, as long as I can maintain the level, and I'm, you know, mainly I'm talking about sort of physical here, as long as I can maintain that level as I age, people are only going to get more impressed.
Yes.
I need to keep my like 5k time, just keep it level. And that's all that needs to happen. And then it was also like that whole, you know, I don't want to sort of collapse down into dowdiness, but actually again, you don't have to sort of, it's like you have to make less effort to be impressive. So, you know, jumping around in a pink sparkly sequin leotard, now I'm 42, is just feels more of a statement than it does when you're younger.
Yeah, you
and
get
everybody's
more of a
doing
thrill.
It.
Yeah,
yeah, I feel like I can more, like, that's always been me, like the sort of like playful, over the top kind of running around nurse.
Mm.
But to do it now as I'm getting a bit older, it feels like it's more of a statement.
Mm.
Yeah,
it feels a bit naughty and a bit exciting as well.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of like.
That's true. Yeah,
yeah, and partying and all that sort of thing. Like I, yeah, because well, I turned 30 2 days after I had my first baby. So my,
I think you say I turned 30 2 days ago. Fuck off.
It's my birthday on Friday. Anyway, I hit my 30s becoming a mum. So that decade from 30 to 40 was just, you know, nappies and boobs and fannies and tired, just so tired. Mm. But also building Scummy Mummies. So that was brilliant. But yeah, now I just sort of feel like the 40s are mine. Like, yeah, the kids are a bit older and I've got a little bit more freedom to do all the fun things. So that, and yeah, and I sort of know who I am more. Like 30s still felt pretty messy and all that sort of thing. And I like being in a community of women who just don't give any fucks and who, well, but they do because they're passionate about what they want. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, for me too, I had kids of a similar time to you, and the 40s corresponds with my children now being of an age that they're much more independent and I have much more time to myself when we're not homeschooling and lockdowning.
How old are your kids, Emily?
They are 10 and 7.
Right, yeah.
And they're also good friends, and they play together a lot. They like, they're football mad, and they're off running around in the park together. And so they're quite self-contained, what they like to do together. So I feel like I get a lot more freedom. Which, yeah, is good. But it's actually, in a way, the sort of lockdown scenario has felt, I felt a little bit exposed. It's like, because I stopped trying to get anything done, and now suddenly it's like, okay, now they're back at school, you can get something done. I felt a little bit like at sea, in the same way as I felt when the kids went to school for the first time.
Mm.
Because when they're really little, I found that I got to the point where I didn't want to try to do anything because I only felt disappointed that I couldn't manage it. So I lowered my expectations, and then suddenly you have the time and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I'm sort of experiencing a bit of that at the moment.
I definitely have that paralysis because I have loads of things I'm interested in, I like doing, and I have a, you know, it's like, for example, if something's cancelled, normally I have everything planned out. If something's cancelled and you go, all right, I've got 2 hours and I haven't got the kids and what should I do? I have this paralysis. Yeah. I'm like,
exactly.
Do it. And now there's like this weird other pressure because I listen to these people, it's like, oh, self-care, and you should just say, like, oh, I've got to care for myself. Well, how should I care for, should I have a bath? Should I watch Netflix? What should I do?
Yeah.
Do you have that?
That is exactly it. And it's, so it's paralysis within, there's the segment. So if you're going to do the self-care thing, how should I do the self-care? Or there's the kind of, which should I be doing? Should I be concentrating on growing my business? Or should I be concentrating on doing stuff for the kids to sort out things? Or should I be doing domestic duties or self-care? And even that, I'm like, and in the end, I just end up watching This Is Us on Netflix.
Yeah. Do you have that, Thorn?
I do. And also because I have 2 days off to myself now a week, and I feel an enormous pressure to kind of just do something good, like, you know, and I've just had 4 days to myself because it's half term, and then I'm like, am I doing enough? Am I, you know, there's part of me that I'm like, oh, I should be playing the piano, or I should be doing, you know, interiors, or I should be doing all that sort of stuff. And it is really hard, because when I'm busy, I can list all the things I want to do. But as soon as you get the blank piece of paper, you go, oh, and then it's that weird sort of thing of like, oh, if I have a bath, then I'm not reading a book, and I should be reading more books, and then I should be.
Do you know you can read a book in the bath?
Fuck off.
I was listening to a podcast in the bath, and it's a revelation, isn't it? The podcast bath scenario.
Where
is
have you people fucking been? Where have you been?
Things you can do in the bath.
Yeah. It's taken me a while.
Multitask bath.
Yeah, that's right.
You can have a wank. You do what you like, lads. Very, very fun.
Save loads of time.
Oh, lovely. You know I love wanking, Ellie.
The bath.
Yes.
I know you like weeing in the bath.
Oh, yeah,
in the bath.
Oh, yeah, it's my birthday on Friday.
Oh,
time to.
Do you not know this? I mean, no. do share. If regular listeners would have heard this story before, but I enjoy it so much. It is your birthday, so it's topical.
Yeah, okay. So a couple of years ago for my birthday, I had a barocca, as I like to do in the morning, and then I thought, oh, I'll have a lovely bath,
I've got a horrible feeling I know where this might be going.
Yeah, right. And so, and I was just having a bath, and you know when you need the loo and you think,
let me just stop there. You know, see, I would say, you know, Emily, when you need the loo and you're in your bath, so you get out of the bath and do a piss so you're not soaking in your own urine.
Yeah.
You know that, Emily?
I do know that.
Well, what's... Carry on.
As a treat, listener, and Emily, who's looking...
Self-care.
Physically sick. I'm just going to give myself a little treat. I'm just going to let go. But the horror of it was that it was so fluorescent. It was like a bath made of tang.
And we know you don't like orange, so...
No, I don't like orange.
Worse.
I mean,
at least it matched your towels.
Oh, no. Orange is associated with warning, isn't it? An emergency.
And madness.
Yeah.
Van Gogh, so it was the colour of madness. And also he famously said it's the colour of Helen's piss.
I also did it once in Forest Hill Pools. Sorry, Forest Hill Pools. But again, I thought I could just get away with it, but I couldn't. It was like, you know, Saturn, you know, like a ring. That's what it was. It was like a ring of orange piss around me.
You'd had a barocca as well,
yes,
that
in
time.
The morning. I really like barocca. If you're listening, Barocca.
Emily, why are you looking shocked? You've known her a while. This is what we like.
I didn't quite know you took it to this level, but I'm very reassured because I like to wee in the shower and I thought that was just me.
Oh, no, everyone loves a shower wee.
You do, right?
You have a wee in the shower, don't you?
I have a wee in the shower, yeah, because it goes down the plug hole.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's acceptable. And you wash it off your body. You're not sitting in your own urine, Emily. That's the difference, isn't it? You're not literally... The urine is not soaking back into your skin.
Yeah. Did you wash your hair as well?
No!
Oh, no, that would be disgusting! What?
Crazy thought!
Don't put your hair in the urine. That's different to your whole body.
To be fair, having bleached
hair. Or your pubic hair.
Because it's bleached, it would probably go a bit orange.
Yeah. No, but to be fair, I drained the water, the wee water, and then I had a shower and a wash afterwards. Oh. But it was just a little... like a mid-treat. Like a little... And then I had a shower afterwards, because I'm not gross.
And it is generous of you that when you go to the swimming pool, you do treat everybody else.
I played the percentage game, right? I thought, how much wee have I got? And I'm not the first person to wee in that pool,
no.
I don't think. No. And it was heavily chlorinated. But I do apologise. It's not a nice thing to do. And sorry to anyone else. But I'm going to play my single mum card. I couldn't leave the kids in the pool by themselves.
That is a really good point, actually. You could have just gone, you know, when you've been tangoed, and everybody would be like, I was tangoed once.
What's tangoed? Is that a sex thing?
No, when you're slapped around the face, an old advert from Britain in the olden times. I'm going to share, it's not my story, Sally, but you'll remember this, Helen. But we at our show, Emily, we do these confessions. We get the audience to write them down. And one of my favourites was this woman. She was in the pool, and she was in the pool with like 5 kids, because it was like the 80s when you were allowed to go. You were allowed to take 200 swimming children. It didn't matter if one or two were drowned.
It's fine.
Do you know what I mean? It was fine. Yeah. So she's in the pool with all these children. And like, I think it was like a 6-year-old. The 6-year-old said to her, oh, mummy, I really need a wee. And she went, oh, it's fine. Just do it in the pool. And then suddenly she heard like a shout, and she turned around, and the child had got out of the pool and was standing on the edge of the pool, pissing into the water.
Oh, that's so good.
We've had some very good ones about toilets and pools. I like the woman who said that she did a shit in a Costa coffee cup in the change rooms at Centre Parks.
Oh.
I mean, that's a sentence, isn't it?
That's
There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not easily shocked by things, but I find that quite shocking.
Yeah.
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 What, you haven't taken a dump in a takeaway cup?
No, why wasn't it Starbucks? Like,
oh, yeah, because
the fact it was Costa.
Emily, why didn't she just go to the toilet? Fucking never mind the brand. What are you talking about?
I think Costa over Starbucks is the shock here.
Sure. Oh, God.
That's an interesting read on that.
I don't know.
Gosh.
And there was that time we were on that health farm in Ibiza,
yeah,
and we ate, there was beetroot, and I don't normally eat beetroot because it's disgusting, it tastes of soil, but there was nothing else to eat, so I just ate it. And then I came to you, we were sharing a room, and I was like, something in the toilet, is this normal? And you had to come and look at my piss, and you're like, no, you stupid idiot, you've eaten beetroot. That's why your wee is pink, which is on brand for you, Emily. Yes. Do you eat beetroot every day just so your piss matches your house?
I mean, I would eat it every day if someone made it for me. I'll eat basically whatever is lying around that I have not had to cook, because I don't really do the cooking.
No, she doesn't. I actually have a confession to make. I told Emily about my separation before you, Ellie, because you were in Japan, and I went to Emily's house for dinner. I think it was about 4 days after I'd separated, and she put on this dinner, and she'd invited a chef over, and the chef was like, "So where are the cooking pans?" And Emily was like, "What cooking pans?"
It was no, they wanted some sort of a like baking dish tin thing, and I was just like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And she was really like, oh my god, we like, seriously,
you don't have a roasting tin?
I think that's what it was. Well, I didn't know I had a roasting tin.
I didn't think about it too. This is what made me wet my pants. Like, and Emily's got this beautiful house, and she'd organised a lovely supper club for women, and had a nice woman cooking things, and the poor lady was like, "And where are the cooking utensils?"
It was not a good moment because she looked horrified, and then she found whatever it was she was looking for. I didn't even know I owned it, and she was like, "Oh, this is whatever it was." I was like, "Oh. Good to know.
Emily, what do you fucking eat? What do you eat?"
Oh God, I don't even know. Like, hummus.
Nothing roasted, clearly.
Hummus. Can't roast hummus.
A lot of hummus. Chocolate.
Yeah.
Do I have to cook chocolate?
Delicious combination.
Yeah. That's the reason that in my kitchen, I had an extractor hood over the hob. And when it came to renovating it, I removed it because it was ugly. And then I tried to find, like, because you're supposed to have an extractor hood, right? Because that's what you're supposed to have. I tried to find a nice brass one or something, and there's just nothing, or it cost £1 million. And in the end, I was just like, I'm just going to hang a pretty glass lamp over it, because the only reason I ever use the extractor, I can't even say what it is, extracting fan, was for the light.
Right.
So I could see that I was cooking some pasta. I mean, that's always what it was. So I got rid of the extractor hood fan thing, and I put the beautifully handcrafted, hand-blown light that looks like a strawberry on, and then Instagram was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I don't really cook, so it's fine." Or open the window.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So you've done blogs, you've done Instagram, you've written, you've worked in fancy magazines. What's next for you, Emily Murray? What's going to happen?
Oh, well, funny you should ask, Helen. So this is kind of a bit of an announcement for me.
Excellent.
I haven't had an announcement for a while and I'm a bit scared, but I'm going to do it. Okay. So I'm launching a podcast and it feels very apt to be saying that on a podcast.
So excellent.
It's good. And it's going to be called Play with Emily Murray. Which, yes, it does sound a bit suggestive. But then I did used to edit the position of the Fortnite page at More Magazine.
Oh! Fans.
But that's position a whole other...
Oh, no, let's get back to that.
No, but that's misleading about the podcast. This is not... I'm not doing a good marketing job for myself. It's not a sex podcast.
Okay.
It is a
You've
podcast.
Missed a trick there, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, actually, there might be a bit about... There might be an episode about sex. But the point is, it is playfulness in all aspects of life and just basically bringing the joy. How can we bring the joy into our lives? Not just into our homes, but into our work, into our parenting, into all sorts of stuff. Because I think I have quite a... I don't know, I think I have quite an upbeat, childlike attitude to a lot of things in my life. And I also think it helps with creativity. And it's just a good way to be, to just have a bit more childish funness, especially now when the world's gone to shit. Mm. So this is a podcast about that, about playfulness and happiness and fun times.
It's just weird though, because I'm launching a podcast called Play with Jason Momoa, and it's just me talking about what I do to Jason Momoa. Perhaps we can do at least
100 episodes that you could get out of that theme. Oh my god, the things you could do with Aquaman.
Yes. Episode one, rimming. Episode two, toys. Anyway, I definitely haven't talked about it.
Just want to stroke his hair and other things.
Which hair?
Oh,
That's exciting, Emily. So are you going to have guests? Is it just going to be you chatting? What's the deal?
It is definitely going to be guests. Mm-hmm. I am just organising things now, who I'm getting on, how on earth I record and edit a podcast by myself, but I can do
this. Piece of piss, absolute piece of piss.
I can do this, I can see that it's doable, and I've got my lovely friend Alison who is helping me. And then, I don't know, it'll just happen. Mm. The idea is that we're launching this side of Christmas. I say the idea is, I just don't ever believe that anything is actually going to ever happen as per a plan.
Mm. I think it's quite good to feel that way because, there's no... It's shifting sands at the moment.
So, but I feel like I have a reasonable amount of control over this. And it's sponsored by John Lewis and Partners, which is really, really cool because I love John Lewis and I work with them loads. They're one of my favorite clients. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to interview different people about different things and they're all going to be very interesting and they're going to be fun and it's going to be amazing.
Excellent.
Well,
you have at least two listeners from Ellie and me. Just quickly go back. You said you worked for More Magazine writing sex positions of the fortnight.
Yeah.
I want to know about this.
So that was, I remember this. This was in the magazine. I mean, I don't need to tell you, but this was in the magazine, wasn't it? Where there was like a drawing of two people. Was it always a man and a lady?
You know what? I think it was in those days. Yeah.
So it was a man and a lady having the old sex.
Yeah.
And did you have to come up with every 2 weeks a new position?
Well, yeah. Yeah, and actually, I say it was position of the fortnight. By the time I joined More Magazine, they'd gone weekly. I joined just as it was. We had to think about it every week.
So I've only got three holes. How many positions are there?
Exactly. Yeah. Luckily, I had a team, so I could get them to working out all different positions.
Were
literally
you single
on the floor.
At the time?
Oh, right. So they actually acted it out.
Yeah. So what would happen is we'd have an idea, you know, and then we'd have to check that it was actually physically possible. Seriously. So we'd get the interns, because this is totally fine. Wow. The unpaid interns.
Different times.
This was like 12 years ago.
Toby, come here.
You know what? One of our interns, although sadly we didn't get him to do this, was Greg James from BBC One once. He came in and made us tea. We should have got him on the floor.
Oh, my God.
So you got the interns, and then you say to them, right, see if you can, with one leg up on the desk.
That's like sex twister.
Get your cock in her mouth. Yes. That's what you have to do.
And I mean, mostly the interns were female, so it would be like you'd have to imagine the cock.
Right.
I do that frequently. Yeah, good. Yeah.
So once we'd ascertained that it was actually possible, then what would happen, because in my day, we used, I was going to say Barbies, but they weren't, because Mattel threw literally their toys out of the pram, because they didn't want Barbie to be associated with sex. So we had to get like sort of like high street versions, but the problem with the high street cheapy versions,
they don't bend.
No. So they're arms and legs. So what did we do? There were two options. Either all sex positions had to involve
straight arms and legs.
Or you kind of do the karate chop. And so they'd literally have these, you can find, I need to find you a
I was going to say, I'd have just got a lighter and like melted the elbows it. And yeah. then moulded it into mainly, the shape.
Basically, yeah. like, we'd just like literally force their legs to bend and their arms to bend. So they could kneel because there was quite a lot of kneeling.
You've had, Emily.
I've had, oh gosh, yeah, we're only just touching the surface. So yeah, we would make that happen and then they would be photographed, which wasn't my job because I was in charge of words, not the pictures.
Right.
And then there would be some writing, which I would edit.
And would you ever test the positions out in your private life?
No.
In your private parts?
No, I tried to keep my private life and my More Magazine life quite separate.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. I love that. I love that. Well, I think it's about time for the Scummy Mummy confession.
It is. I mean, that's a nice segue into something really scummy.
While we're on that subject, didn't you also, when you were a journalist, you had a thing with the Durex press trip? What was that, Emily Pink Murray House Living?
So that was a highlight of my career, was when they were launching their new flavoured lubes. And I remember
honestly, don't bother.
It was good. So there were the flavoured lubes. There was a pina colada flavoured lube.
I mean, you know where that's going.
Yeah, in the drink is where it went. So we literally put it in our drinks.
If you like pina coladas.
To be honest, it all got a little out of hand.
Slippery.
So to speak. It was a slippery slope.
It's hard to get a good grip.
Where was this trip?
It was Mallorca.
We were
in a 5-star hotel in Mallorca. Basically, it was this spa hotel. It was all about like getting lubed up and very, very drunk. And then letting all the journalists loose to be slippery amongst each other.
That
was kind of it.
Have a lovely time?
I had a lovely time. I observed many things that I'm never allowed to talk
about.
Oh, can we talk about the time you and I got drunk in the summer and we drank for about 8 hours. Then we sat next to a really lovely gay couple and they showed us a video of a sex party in
Mykonos.
In Mykonos.
Yeah, it was lovely, wasn't it?
So much. I've never seen so many naked men doing nice things to each other.
It was lovely. It was a lovely evening.
It was a nice way to, and then we went off and had a nice Thai meal.
We did.
Yeah. Perfect. Anyway, that's a nice
lovely
story.
Apart from covering yourself in Malibu flavoured lube, have you got a Scummy Mummy confession for us?
You know, this is really bad because I thought you might ask me that, so I thought. And I'm not a brilliant, like, I was going to say I'm not a brilliant mum. I am a great mum, obviously. But I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of. I just can't remember any of them. Oh, no. Yeah. What a shame. I mean, I am generally quite scared. And then, yeah, the weeing in the shower, but not in the bath.
Yeah.
You're right. You've done enough. I feel like you've done enough.
Okay?
Yeah, I think
my
so.
My scum credentials are there.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a Scummy Mummy confession. I'm a crazy cat lady. And the cats have no boundaries. They go everywhere. But my cats really like butter. And we're not really good at putting lids on in our house. So often I will find like cat lick marks on the butter.
Oh.
That happens to me too.
Well, this is why I can't have cats.
Yeah, but that actually reminds me of a scummy thing that happened.
Okay, here we go.
No, I'm staying on. I need a moment. Piss in the bath, cat spit in the butter. This is what I can't.
Oh. But they're so cute because I'm a crazy cat lady too.
Emily
and
I got our kittens at the same time.
But for a nighttime snack, my 7-year-old.
Kittens.
No. Yeah. They're so cute. But they're basically allowed to do anything. Well, we have only one. She is allowed to. And my 7-year-old has what he calls a nighttime snack before bed, which is crackers with butter on it. And they were, he saw that the cat had jumped up because he buttered them and he went and did something. And he came back and he'd seen that the cat jumped up and the cat had like licked all over the crackers. And because I couldn't be bothered to have to redo it all, I just went over them with a knife. And when he was like, it was the cat. Did the cat get the crackers? I'm like, no, it's fine. Look, there's no marks.
That is so scummy, Emily. That's excellent.
I don't even see that as scummy. I also realised the other thing...
The fuck is wrong with you people?
You don't understand.
I don't understand basic human decency. I understand manners. I understand...
Oh,
I was going to say...
Cat spit. We often see like nice little lick marks on the top of the butter. So I just cut off, you know, at least, you know, half an inch so they know there's no cat lick in the butter. And then we just get on with our day.
Just smooth it over.
I just like to say, anyone who's listening, perhaps eating some butter, I'd like to apologise.
We once had the beauty blogger Lindsay Kelgan, world famous author, and she said she likes to have a piece of pizza in her mouth, and her and her cat share the pizza from her own mouth.
I might try that. That's really cute. Or I might try with the cat food instead, because I don't think the cat would want the pizza.
Anyway, poor Ellie.
Yeah, glad I'm fasting today. I feel like I could go for another 3 weeks now.
Awesome.
Oh God,
stinky cat ladies. Okay.
Yes. Well, I can't have you people in my house anymore. So it's time to end the podcast. Emily, where can people follow you?
I am at Pink House Living on the Instagram, and that's probably the best place to go because you can find everything you need
for your unique blend of trapezing, nice wallpaper,
stunt interiors,
and fucking cat butter.
Indeed, and there's amazing. Yeah, there's a link to the blog. I don't update the blog as much as I should. I have a book!
Yes!
I did a book! Oh, God. Yeah, it feels so long ago. It was 2019. My book is Pink House Living, and you can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, we're doing some Christmas shows, possibly. Go to scummymummies.com for dates. Exactly. By the time this goes out, who knows, there might be shows in 2023. But anyway, the dates are up there. But we do have a shop, Helen. We have an online shop.
We do, and it's called scummymummieshop.com, and there's mugs and T-shirts.
And towels. For all those holidays we're all going on.
Towels? I don't know.
They say Mum Island on them because it's sketchy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh well, don't mention the towels.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
So maybe we don't need an extractor. This is mind-blowing. Oh, someone at the door.
Someone, your extractor fan.
It's the extractor fan police coming to tell me we definitely need one.
They're all dying of carbon monoxide. I'm the same. The noise irritates me. It's too noisy.
Yeah.
I just open the window. If it gets a bit steamy, well, it's probably good for my face.
Yeah, I know. But I just think, how much cooking does everybody else do that they think it's so important? Ooh, sweatybetty.com.
Yeah, look at that. You mentioned Sweaty Betty earlier, and then like magic, the postman's just delivered me some Sweaty Betty clothes.
Wow.
Oh, you've manifested. Much,
if you could now say the word Ferrari and... Jason Momoa, thank you very much.
Oh, I like him.
Both at the same time, would you like?
In the back of the Momoa. Anyway.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.